And I passed a couple of churches as I was walking around the town there, and sort of a back street. As I was walking past those churches, I was just thinking, what kind of prayer meetings do those churches have? Do they have church prayer meetings where they're really crying out earnestly for the salvation of lost people? Is there an earnest cry in their hearts for people to be saved? Now, you only have that earnest cry in your own heart if you yourself have been powerfully saved, and if you yourself, spiritual eyes are opened to the state of other people. So if you're spiritually blind, you won't be strong in prayer. And unfortunately, I think many churches that I've been to, their prayer meetings still lack that earnest cry for the salvation of lost people. So I was just challenged by that myself, having that earnest cry, praying for God to raise up powerful servants of God. And then as I had to wait a bit longer at the train station, and I went back because I knew the time had come, and I had to wait there, and it worked out to be a blessing, worked out to be good. Because after I got the phone call from Rufus, I saw a man. I don't know if he was Samoan. He looked Samoan to me. He was quite big. So I walked up to him with one of my tracts to offer my tract to him. It's called How Jesus Transformed My Life. So I said to him, oh, would you like to read this? It's how you can make sure of your salvation. I don't think he heard a word that I said because he was wearing a sweatshirt that had a hood. And when I started talking to him, I was talking to him. After a little while, he put his hand up and pulled his headphones out of his ears. So I don't think he even heard a word that I said to him. But I offered him my tract. And I said to them, this is to help you to become a powerful man of God. Do you believe in God? And he said, oh, I've been brought up to go to church all my life. So I go to church. So I said to him, well, there's a big difference between going to church and being a powerful man of God. And he said, oh, yeah, I know that. So you can sort of get a feeling where a person is by the way they answer you. So he was answering me in the way, yes, I know it all, but I'm not really a powerful man of God, but I know I should be, but I'm not. So I said to him, well, on the back of my tract, I have my website address, which is evangelistmatthew.com. So I tried to encourage him, well, read the tract and go to my website and get some training and become a powerful man of God. So anyway, his train arrived and he hopped on his train. And then as I saw them drive off, I saw him opening the tract there and he was reading it. So I was thinking, that was a blessing. That was a divine appointment that God gave me. So I believe when I go to different places, God will let me meet certain people that I am to bless them to become powerful servants of God. That's what God is looking for. That's what he's wanting. That's what Jesus Christ wanted. When he came and he called people to follow him, he said, come, follow me. And there was so much power there, it's like they just left everything, got up and followed him. And it's like their hearts were so drawn towards God. Now I believe that has to continue happening through us. Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. Jesus is in my heart. So when I share with people the call of God, believe the mighty hand of God can come upon people. And many times people resist. They don't accept my witness. And they can even be negative. But I've even believed through that a seed is sown in their heart, and in future times they will get saved. So that's the kind of faith we have to have. So I have to believe here that I'm here to speak to you because God wants to raise up some of you to be powerful servants for his kingdom. So who knows? Who's God going to raise up to be a prophet? Who's he going to raise up to be an apostle, an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher of God's word? These are the calls of God. And the powerful call of God can come upon you. Now, I especially want to share today on the responsibility of parents to train their children in the ways of God. And of course, I knew that this is a Thanksgiving meeting tonight for the pregnancy of the next special child of God that's going to be born. So that's why I wanted to give some encouragement on for parents how to train their children, bring them up to become strong in faith, strong, close to God, bring their children up to be blessed children of God. My Bible verse comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 22 and verse 6. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, it says, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." This is a call to Christian parents. And really, the wisdom that God gives us through this can be applied to many aspects of life. And so it doesn't matter if what age you are, God's wisdom can get you fired up for God. But God is calling, especially parents, to train their children. Train your child in the way that he will go. And then there's a promise. The promise is basically that when he's old, he will still be on the right path. He will have a good life. He or she will grow up with the wisdom that you're imparting into their hearts, and they will have a good life. So I'm going to quickly give some encouragements how to do this. What is implied in training your child, helping them to understand truth, how to live, so that they have wisdom, righteousness, godliness, teaching them to obey their parents, giving them good habits, good sleeping habits, good eating habits, giving them exercise, rest, study, relaxation, all the different aspects of life, having wisdom to have a right balance of that. First responsibility is the own parents to train their children. You know, discipleship starts in the home. I was blessed to be born in a family where both of my parents turned to the Lord and were saved, and the love of God was in our family. So I was born in a Christian family, and then I have a sister and two younger brothers. And my parents had the wisdom of God, just how they spoke to us, how the reality of God was there. There's been people who have come to our house at different times, and they've known that the peace of God was there. Love of God was in our house. So I had that blessing. It's a blessing to be born in a Christian family when your parents have the love of God. And they love you, and they want to put God's love into your heart. So we need to give this encouragement and even give wisdom to Christian parents. Because many parents don't know how to do a good job. They haven't been taught. They've got bad habits in their own lives, and they're going to pass their bad habits onto their own children. So it's in training parents how to be good parents, very powerful. Okay, several things that we should avoid in training up children. Avoid in yourself whatever is bad for your children to copy. There have been parents who have told their children, and then going into the teenagers, they've told their teenagers, do not smoke, do not drink. But they themselves have been drinking and smoking. And of course, the child will drink and smoke, because actions speak louder than words. So a person can say, don't smoke, don't drink alcohol. But if they're doing it themselves, they're still teaching their children to do these bad things. So bad habits in a family have bad repercussions in the future. Avoid all disagreements between parents and how you should bring up your children. It's important for parents to be united in working together as they're how they're going to bring up their children. Sometimes if parents are having disagreements among themselves, you know, it can weaken the powerful effect of what needs to be done. Be careful what you allow children to watch on TV. We could include the internet these days. You know, you've got to teach children wisdom. Many programs on the TV are made by people who are not close to God. And what are they wanting to teach children? They're wanting to teach children a lot of junk and rubbish, stupidity and silliness. So when you're watching a program on the TV, that even doesn't matter how old you are, the children have to be thinking, is this good or is this bad? And of course, there are certain things that need to be turned off. So if your heart is open to God, you're going to be willing to turn it off. But if your heart is not very open to God and you don't have any discernment, you just say, oh, it's good, I just want to watch it because it's entertaining. So learn to have discernment, wisdom. What is good, what is bad? I'm saying that to you children that are here. I remember when, this was many years ago, when we were children, and my mother wanted to take us to a film. And that film, if you watch that film today, you'll say that it's just very mild, there's nothing really bad about it. But written on the advertising was that there could be some offensive language or some indecent language. So my brother, I don't know how old he was, but he was quite young, he saw that, oh, there might be some indecent language in this film, and he said, oh, Mum, I can't go to that film. Now I thought to my brother, oh, you're being a bit too strict. It might only have one swear word in the whole film. And I think that is all it had. But because of that, my brother said, no, I don't want to go to that film. So actually the rest of us, we all went, and my brother stayed out. But the good point I want to make is about how my brother's heart was open to God when he was very young. His conscience was awakened, and he didn't want to do bad things. Now, to me, he was still being a little bit fussy, but there's also a good point in that. Of course, one thing parents want to avoid is being overly legalistic in the sense of don't do this, don't do that, and actually it can drive them to want to do it because you're doing it in a not a loving way, but a very legalistic way, and that can make teenagers rebel. But teenagers, they should be close to God. They should not have go through a stage of needing to rebel against their parents. No, not at all. If you have the wisdom of God to train your children, in their teenage years, they can be beautiful years. So there's a lot of things to learn. I'll just quickly pick out a few different points. When your children have been very naughty and you have to discipline your children, make sure that you pray with them. Make sure they understand why they need to be disciplined. So if you're having to punish them, only punish them because you've thought about it carefully yourself, not having to punish them out of anger or suddenly getting so angry with your children that you punish them in that way. Otherwise, you cannot give them the full understanding of why they need to change, why they need to do right. You know, there's a lot of children, and because they've been punished in the wrong way, they want to keep doing wrong. They haven't learnt the true wisdom of doing what's right. But if parents have wisdom when they punish or discipline their children, it really can change their lives. Then children will need to know, yes, I need to change. What I did was wrong. I'm not going to do that again. Maybe it was they punched their sister or something, or maybe they speaking bad words, or maybe they stole something, but they need to change. And this is, in one sense, God has chosen parents to stand in the authority of God. God himself is the perfect father. So that authority is very powerful. And this is why it's so powerful how parents bring up their children. It can lead their own children to heaven or hell. So God is trusting parents. trusting parents with the eternal soul of their children. Okay, you don't want to allow your children to have unnecessary fear. Do not make them afraid of the dark or of monsters or of spiders. A little girl who was about 3 or 4 years old, and as soon as she saw a spider, she would start screaming and going crazy. Ah, spider, spider, and really shrieking. And the reason why she was doing that was because her mother was afraid of spiders. Now, even a 3 or 4 year old girl, if she accidentally stood on a spider, she would squash it and the spider would be nothing. So why was that 3 or 4 year old little girl filled with fear? It was because her mother was filled with fear. And that fear was being passed on. So fear has to be broken. So you don't have to be afraid of the dark. Don't be afraid of monsters. Don't be afraid of spiders. Don't be afraid of anything else. Otherwise, you know, children can carry these fears for the rest of their lives. Fear comes from the devil, but faith comes from Jesus Christ. So you turn to God when you're afraid. And there are many promises in the Bible that God delivers us from all fear. Jesus Christ speaks his peace into our hearts. So whenever you're afraid of anything, let God's peace come into your heart. So that's why we bring up children to have faith, not to have fear. Never give things to your children because they're crying for it. Because if they find that they can get what they want by crying, the more likely they are going to get it because they cry for it, you will find yourself continually annoyed by their crying. So children should be taught that they don't get things because they cry for it. Now this can be difficult when children are very small, or babies, or toddlers, or getting a bit bigger. So sometimes you have to do things just to keep the peace and do what's right. But you also need wisdom. There's actually a lot to teach how to do things. And sometimes the answer isn't a quick fix that you can just change them. But there are certain things that you can learn how to deal with these situations. And that's why it's important to learn how to have wisdom as parents. And sometimes I think that God could even be exposing things in a child's life that are very important for their whole future. So I'm talking about a very extremely troublesome, naughty little child. And if the parent sees from God's perspective and has God's wisdom, instead of just being frustrated and not knowing how to handle the crying or different situations, different families, I don't know what's happened in your families, but these are kind of things we have to teach parents. I'll just mention the importance of who you have in your church as the Sunday school teacher, teaching the children. That is actually a call of God to teach children. You don't want it that people are teaching your children because they have nothing else to do or they need someone. I mean, in your church, if your church is truly walking with God, you need an anointed person who's teaching your children. And I've been to several churches, and what are they doing? They're just playing with Play-Doh and putting together bricks. You know, they could be doing that at school. At church is a time to impart the power of God and the wisdom of God, the call of God, and train up your children in the ways of God. So it's very important who is training your children at Sunday school. How many Christian children have grown up and have not even been converted? By that I mean they have not truly given their lives to Christ. They have as a head knowledge, oh yes, I've heard about Jesus all my life, but it's not personal, it's not close, it's not real in their hearts. So even though they've gone to church, they're not actually saved. Now, they may have made little commitments, may have said, oh, yes, Jesus, and they may have prayed a few times, Jesus, come into my heart and save me. But because there hasn't been more of the reality and the faith and the power and the presence of God, many of them grow up as teenagers, go off to university, lost to the world. That is tragic. That should not be happening. We should not be letting the devil win the children. And that's why you've got to have powerful people. You know, it's very serious. Having people that know how to lead children to Jesus Christ. Okay, several things that must be done for the training of children. Parents should remember this, just some basic biological facts about children. And that is that their will is in the first instance influenced by their senses or feelings and not by moral considerations. Okay, when a small child's growing up, they don't have enough knowledge to know what is right and what is wrong. Small children, that's why they can be easily doing wrong things and, let's say, crying, throwing a tantrum. And really, they don't know. They don't have enough knowledge. They're not old enough. So their physical desires have a strong influence over their will. So because they want something, that is all they want. They want it, and they're not going to give it up. So their will is dominating before the truth can reach their heart through their conscience. And that's when their mind is enlightened by the Holy Spirit. So I'll just explain it this way. Parents should remember that physical training must come before moral training, and that the temper of a child is in a great measure dependent and intimately connected with his physical habits. Now, I'll explain this in different ways, but I'll make a point. You know, I see so many young boys and they're just full of energy. They just want to run, run, run. And that's why a little bit of sports is good, because they're, you know, this kind of age. They can be full of energy. And if you're going to want to say, sit down and be quiet, they're not going to want to, because of what I was talking about. That their senses or desires are dominating against what they know to be right or wrong. So this is where good parents need to have wisdom. And that's why it's good to have certain things like sports and let them loose, burn that energy. But of course, as they grow up, there's also comes into a time where the conscience can be touched and they learn right and wrong. And they learn to obey their parents. Now, the aim of a parent is still, from the earliest possible age, teach a child to do what is right from the earliest possible age. I call it, it's like mastering the child's will. At times, you have to resist stubbornness in a child. Now, this is very important, because if stubbornness in a child's life is not dealt with in the right way, they can carry it with them for the rest of their lives. And that's why often it's hard for adults to submit to God. Because as children, they would never submit to their parents. So when they become adults, they find it very hard to actually submit to God. And when Jesus Christ was walking through Israel, there's a verse, and I think it's in Mark's Gospel, where Jesus actually says to the people, "Your hearts are stubborn." He was saying this to adults. Your hearts are stubborn. Now, if you have the wisdom of God in saving people and bringing up children, there's certain elements of stubbornness of people that can be broken. So I'm thinking a country like New Zealand, which had a Christian foundation a long time ago now, and then it's drifted, it's backslidden, it's fallen away from God more and more, and there's stubbornness has been released in this country in various ways. So we're now coming into a dangerous time, really. A dangerous time. The spiritual battle over the generation, this generation and the future generations of this country. And that's why it's very important that Christians understand some of these things about what's going on, how God created us as our nature, but how people are influenced by the forces of darkness, the kingdom of darkness, and by the pressures of our society, which is becoming anti-God. So when a child, you're not able to reason with them, there is a right way of disciplining them. And that's another big issue for New Zealand, because of New Zealand putting out an anti-smacking law. But actually the Bible says, basically, if you don't use the rod, you spoil the child. If you don't smack the child, you will spoil them. I know why New Zealand has banned smacking. It's because of the other extreme. There were angry parents who beat their children to death. And that is total wickedness. Now, because of the wicked way that parents have disciplined their kids, that doesn't mean that you avoid godly discipline. So some people think that they're wiser than God. I'm talking about the New Zealand government. God says that if you don't discipline your child by smacking them in the right way, godly way, at the right time, you're going to spoil your child if you don't. So that means if you don't discipline your child in the right way, they're going to grow up rebellious and stubborn. So we're going to enter into a time where there's going to be many stubborn children, and especially stubborn teenagers, unless God is able to break through with his word. And that starts with Christian parents, bringing up your children to know that your children can become powerful children of God. One good thing is, of course, to teach your children to love one another. And that's very interesting if you've got children having arguments with one another. Basically, children will love those who love them. If parents love their children, children will love their parents. But if a parent is not having godly wisdom and is having no time for their children, just too busy, and just complaining all the time to their child, don't do this, don't do that, in a wrong kind of way, it doesn't develop that full kind of love. So I was thinking of this illustration to illustrate what kind of love can be in a child's heart. I was thinking of a cat and a dog. Now, if you love pets, and you love your pet cat, and you love your pet dog, your cat will love you, and your dog will love you. But what I noticed when I was in India, they had no habit of having pets. They hate cats and they hate dogs, where I was. And they were all scrawny and scringy and chased away. There was no love between the cat and the dog and with Indian people. So even when I talked to some Indian children about how in New Zealand, you know, cats are beautiful, cats are wonderful if you have a good pet, they were like, no, never. See, they didn't know what can happen when you have friendship and love towards a cat. That cat will love you. So India doesn't have that habit. And then I was thinking, how many parents have never taught to love their children? And that's why there's these kind of barriers there. You can also talk about the issues of teaching husbands how to love their wives. When a husband loves his wife like Christ, then it's natural for the wife to submit to her husband. But if that love is not there, then it'll be hard. It'll be difficulties. So there's many areas of wisdom we have to learn how to train children, how we have to develop families. So in some ways, I only just very briefly touched on the subject, but I wanted to give you this kind of wisdom, because Christian parents have to believe for the best for their children. And that's why, first of all, I was saying, who's going to be a prophet of God? Who's going to be an evangelist? Who's going to be a pastor? Who's going to be a teacher? Who's going to be filled with wisdom like Solomon? God can give you supernatural wisdom. But it takes Christian parents also believing that for their children and imparting that into their children. Many children in the Bible that became powerful servants were because the mother could not get pregnant. And it's as if God did not allow the woman to get pregnant so that she would cry out to God and she would seek God with all her heart. And when she was crying out to God with all her heart for a child, when God gave her a child, he gave her a special child. And that child grew up to be a powerful prophet or anointed servant of God, like the prophet Samuel, John the Baptist. These powerful servants of God through mothers who went through difficulties. But through their difficulties, they prayed and they got God's high calling upon their life. So that's why I look at children, the potential of what God can do. One thing that the Bible says about the prophet Moses was that by faith, his parents hid him. By faith, his parents didn't fear the anger of the king. And by faith, it's because of Moses' parents' faith that Moses himself becomes one of the greatest men of God who's ever lived. One of the powerful men of God. So what I want to impart, especially for this baby, even that's in your womb, that this baby will be called and chosen by God. That the mighty hand of God will be upon your child. And I speak that for all of you children as well, that the mighty hand of God is upon you. So it's important that you learn what is right, what is wrong. It's important you have a soft heart. What I would say to you children here is the most important thing for you is actually to learn how to pray so that Jesus is your friend. So that when you wake up in the morning, you know how to pray to God. See, if you just go to church and you don't know how to pray, you're not going to have a close friendship with Jesus. For myself, I gave my life to Jesus when I was 8 years old. And I knew that God saved me and he was real and he was all real that time. But really the biggest change in my life didn't take place until I was 16. And when I was 16, God's power hit me at a youth camp and I knew that God was calling me for a purpose. And I kind of thought then that what was I doing until I was 16? I wasn't really praying. I read the Bible a little bit. But I kind of wasted those years. Now, some people have just wasted their whole lives and they're adults and they're still not close to God. So it's never too late when you've got to see the wisdom of God. You've got to see the call of God. We're in a spiritual battle against good, against evil. See and discern how the devil is working in New Zealand. It's different than India. The devil's working in India. The devil's working in New Zealand. Don't let the devil take your children. The world will pull them. The world will influence them. But if you train your child in the way he should go, when he's older, he will not depart from it. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this message tonight. Thank you for the parents. And thank you for the children who are here also. We just pray the mighty hand of God upon each person. That they will have wisdom. Lord, I pray for the children. That the children will say, yes, I will be a powerful servant of God. We pray for the parents. The parents will be filled with God's wisdom. And we also pray for the grandparents. Lord, that they will be filled with God's wisdom also. And the future generations may just continue. And we can leave behind a blessing of God. For our future generations. Lord, we especially thank you for this child that is about to be born very soon. Lord, we do pray the special call of God upon this child. We commit this child into your hands, Father God. And we just thank you, Lord, as we're coming tonight with thankfulness for this child. We praise you for it, Lord. We believe for something great. We believe for something powerful. And we just believe that for all the children here. Lord, let the power of God go into every person's heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.